The lessons that we have today, I've thought about all week, they are all about ministry. And if they're about ministry, then they are also about our lives, our professional lives, our family lives, personal lives, ministry lives, Christian life. So, let's start off. One of the most interesting events in Moses' life is he is just so tired of dealing with the people of Israel at this point in the narrative that he just throws up his hands and says, if I have to deal with this anymore, just kill me now. That is a level of exasperated that all of us have, I think, at one point felt. Just so done with everything that they were being responsible for and having to deal with, just done. And God says something interesting to Moses. He says, you know, it doesn't have to be just you. I think that that's an important lesson for clergy and for laity, for all of us in our lives. The work that is given to the Christian family to do does not rest upon any one person's shoulders. I have said this in the church, the only person that any church should not be able to live without is Jesus. It's true. We don't have to bear all of the burden. Many hands do make light work, though. Have you ever heard that? My grandmother used to say that all the time and then tell me to do something. The second part of that story is that the Spirit of God goes down and all these other people have been given powers. We have these two dudes, Eldad and Medad. If you look up biblical commentary on this entire thing, way too much ink is spilled on what their names are supposed to mean. Okay, Medad means favored in love, and Eldad is love of God. And it doesn't say they're twins, but those would be great names for Israelite twins, okay? These two guys are out and they're prophesying. And Joshua comes up and says, they're not one of us. They're not on the official list. How can they do this? You need to stop them. And Moses, who again had just been done with everything going on for the people of Israel, says, no. They're doing what they need to do. It would be great if we could all do this ministry. Then we go in, and it's the exact same story almost in the gospel lesson. John comes up and says, these people are casting out demons in your name. We have to stop them. And Jesus says, why would you stop them? If they're doing good work, if they're doing it in my name, why would you stop them? It doesn't matter if they're on an official list. It matters that they're doing the work, taking the work on, living the kingdom life. The crux of this, I think, is jealousy and envy. Now, you would think that those two words are synonyms, jealousy and envy, but they're not. They're absolutely not. They imply, I believe, different things. You can envy, covet, someone's house. Maybe their family, maybe their job, or their title, or their car, or what they have. You can be envious of that. Jealousy is something different, though. Jealousy is when you're afraid that something you have will be taken away. The people here in our story, the disciples, and then Joshua and the people with him, they were jealous. They had position, power, title. They had the officialness that comes with their office or who they were following and what they were doing. They had a certain degree of respect amongst that community. They were afraid that they were going to lose that respect and authority. They were jealous that these other people were doing these ministries that they wanted to reserve unto themselves. They wanted to take that and make it their own. That's not how God operates. God wants us not to be jealous, to be thankful that the world is filled with good and capable people. not just in ministry, not just standing up here in the fancy duds and preaching, not just people who can do that. God desperately wants each and every single one of us in our lives to live it as our ministry. Those of us who are teachers or homemakers or cooks or lawyers or secretaries or nurses, any of these, we are called to do our best in. We are called to be grateful that there are people whose talents exceed our own, because that only makes the world a better place. Our jealousy is what gets in the way of others. I read a quote this week. I'm going to say, I don't often get the opportunity to quote Bette Midler in church. But she said, you know, the hardest thing about success is finding someone who will be happy for you. The hardest thing about success is finding someone who will be happy for you. And ain't that the truth? In all of our professional lives and personal lives, whenever we see somebody who is advancing beyond us, is doing better, don't we get that little tinge of, who do they think they are? Don't we just a little bit, aren't we afraid that they're going to take something from us? Don't we want a little of what they have? Don't we always measure ourselves against other people? God's answer to that is always, never do that. You have been wonderfully created. You were expected to be you because everybody else is taken. Be you. Live into who you are, who you were called to be, who you were made to be. And by doing so, you can help fulfill that prayer, thy kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven, because that can only be accomplished when we're all living together, when we're all working for the better, for the common good, for each other, for the glory of God. When we live at our best life and are excited for others to live their best life, even though it may be greater than ours, then we can actually find peace, I believe, and we can also experience the fullness of God's love. Because God's love isn't just for us individually, it's for us collectively as well. Jealousy is one of those things that consumes the person who has it. Not all of us can do great things. All of us want to be great, though. It's part of the human condition. As we go and live our lives, how much better would the world be if we were all praying for each other's success? That we could be people who are bettering society each and every day, each generation building off of the other, so that we can actually live into God's dream for us. I'm reminded of a story that has been often told, Sir Isaac Newton, you probably have heard this quote. He said, if I have seen further, it is only because I have stood on the shoulders of giants. That is often this quote that's used to attribute to humility, that he himself is blessed by those who had gone on before him so that he could, in fact, advance science and math and learning. Now, the flip side to that is that he was writing it in an angry letter to a guy who was 4'9". Newton also had jealousy. Newton also. When we actually practice non-jealousy, non-envy, we can better the world and better ourselves. And when we do that, when we want the best for each other, for the world, and when we are excited at the possibility of someone being greater than us, then we have love. we can have the fullness in our heart. We can make the kingdom advance inch by inch by our own acts of self-determination, by reflecting on ourselves and what it is that we are jealous of, and praying for that. My brothers and sisters, if in ministry, we saintly clergy, can't even say that without laughing, if we clergy, those who have been called by God, can be jealous in ministry, all of us can be jealous in our private lives. The key is to recognize it. The key is to pray about it and to live in love so that all might know the healing power of our Lord. Amen.